Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Parshat Maaseh. In this week's parsha, we read about the terrible tragedy that could occur, chas v'shalom, when somebody kills somebody else b'shogeg, when somebody kills somebody else. I think in American law, it's called manslaughter. In other words, it is not completely be'ones, it's not completely faultless, but it's also, of course, not b'mezid. It's not on purpose, it's not with intent, it's not with edim, it's not with hasra, it's not with warning ahead of time. It's b'shogeg, we'll call it negligence, maybe we'll call it by accident in English, but again, accident usually refers to be'ones. Ones means completely not your fault at all. B'shogeg is manslaughter, accident, but it was negligence, and somebody should have been, the person who killed should have been more careful. And the person who killed has to go to an Ir Miklat. There were three Ari Miklat in Eretz Yisrael, and there were three Ari Miklat be'Ever HaYarden, and they had to run to one of those Ari Miklat to flee the Goel Hadam. It was the responsibility of the Beit Din to make sure that the roads were clean and repaved. It was the responsibility of Beit Din to make sure that there were signs heading to the Ir Miklat, so that there would really not be any further disaster while the killer runs to Ir Miklat. He has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chaf Hey, V'yitzilu ha'eda tarotzeach miyad goel hadam, v'yishivu oto ha'eda el Ir Miklato asher nas shama, and says the Torah, v'yashav ba ad mot ha'kohen ha'gadol asher mashach oto b'shemen ha'kodesh. The person has to live in the Ir Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the Mefarshim from the Gemara all the way to modern day Mefarshim and everyone in between deals with the question of why the killer has to wait until the Kohen Gadol dies. Why doesn't he stay there for a specific amount of time? Why doesn't he stay there for a prescribed amount of time? Why would the person, the killer, have to stay until the Kohen Gadol dies? And again, every Perush that you can look up has a different idea, a different understanding, a different explanation. Rashi gives two explanations. You have to look in the Mora Nevuchim, and so many ideas. I will add one point, however, that's, I think, relevant to us in general and in our lives, and specifically relevant to the matzav in Eretz Yisrael now. It's going on in the summer in 2014. The Mishnah tells us that because the killer had to stay until the Kohen Gadol dies, it makes sense that the person who is there would be happy and would wish for and even daven for the death of the Kohen Gadol. It was very hard. Take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch, at how difficult it was. Think for a moment. Because they killed somebody by accident, they can't live with their family, they can't have their regular business, they can't go to the regular shul, they don't have the regular social circle and friends and chevra, they've got to live in some city they've never been to, never visited, don't know anybody there. It's very difficult to be there. As well it should, I'm not excusing, of course, but it's very difficult. And so it's very normal for that person who's exiled to the Ir Miklat, it's very normal to wish for and even daven for the death of the Kohen Gadol. And because of that, the Mishnah in Masechet Makot, Daf Yud Aleph Mat Aleph, tells us the following. Imotehen shel Kohanim, the mothers of the Kohanim, misapkot lahen michya uksut. The mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim used to go around to the Ir Miklat and would give them, give the exiled people there food and clothing and bedding and all different kinds of things, so that k'day shelo yitpalalu al b'nehem sheyamutu, so that they would not daven for the death of the Kohen Gadol. And again, the Gemara goes into the discussion of why they would daven for the death, but the mothers would walk around and daven and give out these things, so that the people who were exiled would be a little bit less strong, less powerful in their tefillot. The Gemara asks, why would Hashem ever listen to their tefillot? Because the Gemara calls their tefillah, or their curse, a kilalat or klalat chinam. It's a wasted curse. It's a who would listen to this person? They are the ones who killed somebody. Manslaughter. Why would Hashem listen? And the Gemara gives its answer. But I think what is striking, if one asks the question, why would Hashem listen? I think what we learn from this Mishnah is that their tefillah, and the Gemara explains, their tefillah does mean something. And the mother does have to walk around and give, you know, sort of things, give things to sort of appease the killers. I think that what comes out of this Mishnah and what comes out of this Gemara is a very clear message. That here we have all of Bnei Yisrael davening for the Kohen Gadol to live, or at least not davening for the Kohen Gadol to die. We have all of Klal Yisrael, and yet we have this one miskein sitting in some ir miklat somewhere, maybe even in Chutz Laaretz, or Me'ever HaYarden, davening for the Kohen Gadol. And these tefillot, as comes out in the Mishnah, comes out in the Gemara, could be heard from Hashem. And I think there are two lessons that we have to learn from this idea. One is relevant to, they're both relevant to all of us in our lives completely, but one is specifically relevant to the situation now in Israel. Message number one, I think, is clear. That all of us, at one point or another, feel like we are out. Feel like we are in the middle of nowhere. Feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to our tefillot. Why would God listen to my tefillah? Look how many mistakes I've made. Look how many things I've done wrong. And look how far away I am geographically and spiritually. Why would Hashem listen to me? And we see from this Mishnah, we see from this Gemara, we see from the Psukim, excuse me, Hashem listens to everyone. Hashem listens to everyone. There is no such thing as being too far away. There is no such thing as being too far away. The Kutzker Rebbe used to say that to have the Yetzer Hara make us sin or convince us to sin, that already we understand. But what the more powerful job, so to speak, of the Yetzer Hara is after we have sinned, to make us feel like we can never come back. And here we hear, here's a man who killed somebody negligently. He's sitting in the middle of nowhere, away from his family, away from his shul, away from everything. And you know what? Hashem could listen to his tefillot. Hashem does listen to his tefillot. And so the mother of the Kohen Gadol has to walk around and do things to make sure that they don't daven. Because Hashem does listen. Hashem listens to every single one of our tefillot. And I think message number two, which is of course related to message number one, is that we can never underestimate the tefillot of one crying Jew. We can never underestimate the power of one crying Jew. Even the most lowly Jew, so to speak, or the seemingly most lowly Jew, we can never underestimate. Hashem listens to everybody's tefillot, and especially one crying Jew sitting in a corner saying, I wish I could be with my family. I wish I could return. I wish things could be back as normal. Hashem listens to every one of our tefillot, and especially the tefillot of people, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, whose hearts are broken. And that reminds us of our collective heart that have been broken for many weeks now, and the terrible goings-on in Israel, all the way back from the time when we heard about the three boys who were no longer living, and crying all the way until today, when we hear about the deaths, Rachmana Litzlan, of soldiers who are killed in the line of duty, saving Eretz Yisrael, saving Am Yisrael, saving Klal Yisrael, saving Medinat Yisrael. And we have to remember and pour out our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a broken heart and a crying heart, to realize that please Hashem, please return your Sukkot Shalem, please return your peace to Eretz Yisrael and to Am Yisrael, and may all the soldiers return healthy, safely, and speedily back to their homes, and may we no longer need to have broken hearts and broken spirits, Chas v'Shalom. May Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should answer all of our tefillot, every single one of our tefillot, and then we shall see Be'ezrat Hashem, the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu.